You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 18. Last time we stopped at verse 13, and we'll continue from there this week. And we see where people of God, Jesus was speaking about that sheep that gone astray. And the shepherd would leave that 99 and go to seek that one that is straying. And the word said when they find that sheep, when he should find it, there would be a great rejoicing among them over that one sheep that was found. So it shows the love of God for us and how much he's concerned about each and every one of us. And he knows each and every one of us by name. And he knows when the one that has strayed away, he knows that that one has strayed. So he's willing and ready to seek and to save those that are lost. And people of God, let us understand that we serve a great and mighty God who loves us with an everlasting love. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. We thank you that you are God, you reign supreme, you are the sovereign God, you rule and reign over everything. And as we come this evening in the name of Jesus, we pray that you'll continue, O God, to keep our eyes fixed upon you, O God. Help us not to allow our circumstances to cause us to stray from you. But I pray, O God, Almighty Lord, you'll give us dove's eyes that we see you and you alone, and that we will walk each day, O God, imitating you, walking hand in hand with you, Jesus. Have your way in our lives, we pray, and bring us to that place of humble submission to your will and to your way. Thank you again for your word to us this evening. Thank you for what you're doing in this season. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, O God, that you are the light of the world, Jesus. And you said, if we follow you, we will not walk in darkness, O God, but we will have the light of life. So we bless you and we honor you and we look to you by faith today. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Continue to illuminate your word to us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we bless you and we honor and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen and amen. Bless the Lord. So we look at Matthew 18, verse 14, the word of God said, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So it's not God's will that one of these little ones, it's not God's will that anyone should perish. And as we already spoke earlier on, that God loves us so much that he would send his only begotten son to die for us. People of God, we have to understand this type of love. He loves us so much that he would send his only begotten son to die, that type of gruesome death that he died for us, so that today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. It's not his will that we should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we have to understand the love of the Father. So Jesus said, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So it is showing us the love of the Father for us, that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So we have to understand, people of God, and walk in that love and understand that love that the Father has for us, and come to cherish that love, people of God, and love him back. Walking in truth, walking in holiness, walking according to his will. That shows how much we love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And when we start to live according to the will of God, when we start to keep his commandment, it shows that we love him and we honor him and we respect him for who he is and the work that he's doing in our lives. It's not his will that any one of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we want to honor the Lord for dying for us, The Lord Jesus Christ died for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So we are going on to verse 15 of Matthew 18, and we are going to see how to deal with a brother who is in sin. So we want to know how to deal with a sinning brother. He said, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So people of God, we see where Jesus shows us how to deal with every situation, everyday situation that comes up in our Christian walk. And somebody might be saying, "I don't know how to deal with this problem," but it's in the Word of God here. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," so if your brother offend you in any way, "go and tell him his fault between you and him." Go and tell him, "You have offended me. You said this or that. You did this or that, which I didn't like. You have offended me." So go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. "If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So "hears there" mean if he admits, "Yes, I'm sorry, I am at fault, I did you wrong," then you have gained your brother. But look on verse 16, what it says. "But if he will not hear," if he doesn't admit that he's wrong, if he doesn't admit to his wrong and say, "You know what, I'm sorry." "But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." So Jesus is saying here, if he will not hear you, he doesn't take heed and decide to reconcile. You know, he admit that he's wrong and ask for forgiveness and decide to reconcile. Then you must take one or two more with you, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So going to your brother alone, it's just between you and him, and he might say, "You didn't say that," or, "You said something that he said he didn't say." So when we have the witnesses, when you bring one or two witnesses there, and that's how they used to do it in the old covenant, and Jesus was showing that they still stand. You bring one or two witnesses, so that every word that is said will be established. So those witnesses are there to really stand up and say, "This was what was said. This was what was done during this time where we met." So we see, people of God, it's good to have witnesses so that they can stand to defend what was said or done. So we have to understand the importance. If that brother does not hear you at first, if that brother does not decide to reconcile or to admit his wrongs, and to ask for forgiveness and to go along and to come back into the fold and to be that brother that he ought to be, then you have to bring in the witnesses, two or three more witnesses, that every word is said is established. So we have somebody to say, "This was what was said, this was what was done," not just between the two who have the problem, the two who have the conflict. So we have to understand this truth, and the Word of God is showing us, people of God, that the Word of God has the solution for every problem. Look at verse 17. "And if he refuses to hear them," "tell it to the church." So he refused to hear the witnesses. He refused even to hear the church. "But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." So if this person does not want to reconcile, this person does not want to admit his wrong, he's taken before the brother and he decided that he wasn't going to reconcile, he's taken before one or two more witnesses, he still didn't want to reconcile, and now he's taken before the church. So he's taken before the body of believers. But if he refuses even to hear the church, Jesus is saying, let him be to you like a heathen. Put him out. And as a tax collector, let him become like a sinner then. Put him out from among you. That's what Jesus was saying. Let him be to you like a heathen. You can't be calling him brother anymore. He's not a brother because he's not willing to reconcile. So we have to understand this truth, people of God. And many times we're calling people brothers and sisters who does not want to reconcile. Even if you take them before the church, they want to stand and do their own thing, not living, not submitting to the word of God. This is what Jesus says we are to do. So we have to understand that we are called to be like Jesus, willing and ready to forgive and to move on, to reconcile. Jesus said if he doesn't want to hear, he doesn't want to obey what the church says, let him be to you like a heathen. A heathen, people of God, is an unsaved. The Jews look on the Gentiles as heathen. So we would look on the unsaved as heathen. So let him be to you like a heathen, an unsaved, or a tax collector, a sinner. So we tax collector were seen among the Jewish people as sinners because they said they were robbing the Jewish people and giving to Rome. So they were seen as sinners. So Jesus said, let them be like a heathen. Let him be like a heathen and a tax collector. Look at verse 18 of Matthew 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we see, people of God, Jesus has given us, his people, the authority to bind and to release. To bind and to release. So whatever is a hindrance in our way and the journey of life, we have the power and the authority to bind it. And heaven will agree with us, people of God. So whatever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. So heaven is in agreement with what we are doing here on earth. And whatever we need that will be beneficial for our journey, we have the authority to release in Jesus' name. So it comes down, people of God, to operating in Jesus' name. So whatever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. But we have to use that God-given power and authority that Christ has given us so that we can bind up some things, put some things in bondage that has been preventing us from moving up to the next dimension in our lives. We have to speak, people of God, the word said, to our mountains so that they can be removed. We have to bind up some things that are hindrance to us. And we have to come to that place of understanding that there are some things that we need that will be beneficial for us on this journey. We have the authority to release it in Jesus' name. So people of God, we have to understand the power and the authority that we have as God's people. And we have to understand, people of God, that we have to be walking in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus tells us in Matthew 15:7, he said, abide in me and let my word abide in you. Then you ask what you will and it shall be done. God's word is true. But people of God, many times we are binding some stuff, but we are not in a relationship with Jesus. So we're binding and nothing happening. For heaven does not agree with us because we're not in a relationship with Jesus. So we have to understand, people of God, that we have to be in a relationship with Jesus to see the results of binding and loosing. And many times we are just, it's just lip service for many of us. We bind and we loose. But nothing is being bound, nothing is being loosed. So we have to understand, people of God, God is calling us, the church of God, into a relationship with Him. Abiding in Christ Jesus, remaining in fellowship with Him. And let His words abide in us. So when His word takes root in our lives, then people of God, we will now be acting according to the word of God. We will be so submitted to His word. His word will be our final authority. So we can bind and loose in the power that God has given us, in the authority that He has given us. And we will see great results. But we have to abide in Jesus Christ. We have to be in a relationship with Him. He is the vine. We are the branches. If we are severed from Him, we can do nothing without Him, He said. We can't bear fruit on our own. We won't see the kingdom of God manifested unless we come into that place of having that deep relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the power and the authority. But people of God, we have to stay in fellowship with Him. We have to stay in union with Christ Jesus. And when we stay in union with Him, heaven will agree with us when we bind things here on earth. So we don't want to just be going around saying we're binding and loosing, and we don't see no result. But we want to bind the things in the name of Jesus, things that are hindering us, things that have become, people of God, a snare to us. We want to bind them and send them back where they come from. And we want to loose the things that are beneficial for our walk in the kingdom. So we have to come to that place of understanding what is preventing us, what is hindering us on this journey, and know of a surety that we are in a relationship with Jesus, and use the power and the authority that He has given us so that we can bind and loose things that will help us and will be beneficial to us on this journey. So we have the authority in Jesus' name. But we have to be in fellowship with Jesus. When we are operating in His name, people of God, it means that we are in fellowship with Him. We are showing Christ-like qualities in every area of our lives. We are now, through the Spirit is now producing in us the fruit of the Spirit. We have love in our hearts, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. People of God, we are now displaying the qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we now can operate in His name. We are operating now in His name when we are operating in His characteristics. So we have to come to understand this truth, to know that we are given the authority to loose and to bind things. But we have to come to that place of being in fellowship with Christ Jesus. For He said, without Him, we can do nothing. So if we are out of fellowship with Him, we are there just loosing and binding and nothing happening. We don't want that to be happening in our lives, people of God. We want to see great results in the kingdom of God. We want the world to look on and to say, those people are authentic. Those people are really children of God. For we see great and mighty works being done by them. The word of God tells us that God will confirm His words with signs and wonders. So we have to come to understand that God is calling us, people of God, to that place of being in fellowship with Him, walking in the Spirit, walking in love, walking with His joy in our heart, His peace, walking in His ways, so that we'll bring honor and glory to His great name. Look at verse 19 of Matthew 18. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for him by my Father in heaven. What is Jesus saying here? Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done. So two of us come in prayer. Two of us as children of God come in agreement, prayer of agreement concerning anything Jesus said that they will ask. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But we have to come in agreement. We all have to be in fellowship with Jesus. We have to agree with what God's word says. We have to come to that place of knowing that we have to be like-minded. We have to have the mind of Christ to see the will of God done in our lives. So we need people of God to understand that we have to have the mind of Christ. We cannot agree without us being like-minded. So if we come together and say we're calling upon the name of Jesus, but we are not like-minded, we are going in opposite direction. Jesus said we must agree. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, you're on one accord, you're in agreement, you're together in this matter. Whatever the matter is concerning anything, Jesus said, whatever the situation is, you decide to gather together and pray, seeking God's face concerning this situation. Jesus said, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It will be done. It's a certainty. It will be done, people of God. So we have to understand that Jesus is saying, what is the key is that the two must agree. The two must be like-minded. The two must have the mind of Christ to see the will of God done right here on earth, right here in our lives. So people of God, we can't be coming together saying that we're coming together to pray and we are not like-minded. We are not of the same mind. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to understand the kingdom principle, people of God. We can't come and we are in conflict. We are not together. We are not having that same purpose. So we have to come together, one mind, one purpose, and come, one will, understanding that we are coming to see the will of God done for us by our Father in heaven. So if we don't agree, people of God, if we are not on one accord, if we are not together in this, whatever the situation is, it's best we don't come and say we're praying together because we won't see the results. But Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, you agree that you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So we have to understand, people of God, the kingdom principle, the principle of agreeing, of being in agreement. The Bible tells us that the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, in one place. They were in agreement, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So we want to be people, when we come together to pray and to seek the Lord, that we be in agreement, and the will of God will be done in our lives. We will come to understand that the Father will do his will in us. For Jesus himself tells us that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will do it. He will do it. And when we are operating in the name of Jesus, people of God, we are operating in unity. We are a unified body. So we want to unite, people of God. We want to agree. We want to be of one accord and doing the will of God. Look at verse 20 of Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Look at what Jesus said, people of God. Verse 20 of Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And many times we quote this scripture a lot, people of God. We quote it and saying where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he's there in the midst of them. But we stop and we do not stop to think and to understand what it means gathered together in the name of Jesus. So when we are gathered in the name of Jesus, we are gathered in his character. Are we displaying Christ-like characteristics? We say we are gathering. Are we gathering in his name? We have to ask ourselves that question. Where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, in his character, in his identity, in his nature, people of God, Christ will be in the center of us. Christ will be in the center of us. Christ will be in charge. He will take care of all that we are concerned about. So we want people of God to be gathered in Christ's name, in his identity, in his character. We want to be displaying Christ-like characteristics so that we will be children who will show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ promised in his word, he will be in the midst of them. He will be in the midst of us. He will be in the center of our lives. Everything will emanate from him. Everything will come from him because he will be in the midst, in the center of our lives. So people of God, we are called to walk in Christ-like characteristics. We are called to walk in his identity, in his nature. And Christ will be in the center of our lives. We want him to be the center of it all. We want him to be the one who we look to at all times and who is always there for us, willing and ready to help us. But we have to understand the kingdom principle where two or three are gathered together in my name. So important that we take a note there, in my name. I am there in the midst of them. So where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, as we said before, in his character, in his identity, in his nature, Christ will be in the center of them. So Christ will be there to take care of what truly concerns us. So we have to understand, people of God, the kingdom principle, and we have to understand the principle of us agreeing here on earth. We have to agree. We have to be of the same mind. We are called to be like-minded. We are called to have the mind of Christ, so that we can show forth his glory and his praise right here on earth. We are called, people of God, to live like Christ and to walk in his ways and to show forth his glory here on earth. But the important thing is that we have to be operating in his name. And to operate in his name, we have to show forth his characteristics in our daily life. We have to walk in love, in joy, in peace, and in long-suffering, knowing that our God has gone through so much for us, and we are called to imitate him in every area of our lives. God bless you all. We'll stop here this evening, and we'll continue from verse 20 of Matthew 18 next week, God's willing. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for reminding us, O God, to gather in your name. And in your name, we will see great and mighty things happening in our everyday walk. So we look to you, O God. Have your way in us, Holy Spirit. Show us your way and help us to walk each day, bringing honor and glory to your name. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the week and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
In the
thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477.